We are joined this morning by Erica Catton, who's with the Narconon Arrowhead Agency, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the signs that you may or may not notice if your child is using drugs. Look at some of the behavior of a drug user. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sure you get a lot of these questions asked all the time when it comes to, I'm not sure if my child is involved in something like this, but it's my child. They certainly wouldn't do anything like this, and I guess it all boils down to the bare basics, first of all, is what really is a drug? Because there are a lot of things that folks get hooked on.
Sure. I mean, a drug essentially is a poison, and usually the degree that you take determines the effect. Now, one drug that I like to use, which a lot of people don't think is a drug, is alcohol. Now, when someone drinks a little bit of alcohol, it acts as a stimulant, and the person's really friendly, and they're kind of socializing, and they may be loud. And the more you drink, the more you kind of go down. It starts acting as a depressant, and you're tired, lethargic, and you can't really open your eyes. And if someone drinks enough alcohol, they can die. They can get alcohol poisoning. So with every drug, you have these three things that occur.
Well, and sometimes we try to rationalize that drug use, don't we? Thinking like, well, it's just marijuana or it's just alcohol.
Oh, absolutely. People definitely try to do that. And in today's day and age, you know, we have over 10 million people that misuse prescription drugs every year. And there's a lot of justification in that of, oh, I needed it. I had this pain. I just took a little more than I was supposed to. My friend gave it to me. You hear that very, very commonly in today's day and age.
Absolutely. How do drugs actually affect the mind?
Well, what happens is the brain makes natural chemicals. These are serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. And when you take a drug, you get a synthetic boost of these chemicals. And the brain thinks, well, you know, I got all these chemicals. I feel good. I guess I don't have to make these natural chemicals anymore. So when you come down off the drug, your brain is no longer making that natural chemicals. The synthetic boost has worn off. And you're feeling depressed and you have anxiety, and the only way to feel good again is to keep taking the drug, and that starts the vicious mental cycle of addiction.
Well, and that's where the addiction part comes from.
Exactly. That's where it begins. And there's a physical part that comes a little bit later, but the mental part is something that happens immediately after you take the drug, even for the first time.
Can you talk a little bit about the cycle that an addict might go through?
Well, the cycle that an addict goes through is, you know, as we spoke about the mental cycle, then you have the physical aspect of the addiction. When someone takes a drug, those drugs store in the body. They cause physical cravings. The person mentally is off, and also physically they are craving the drug. In addition to that, you have guilt and depression. You have guilt for taking the drug in the first place, maybe the reasons for taking the drug, and then you have depression, which is the symptom that you feel when you come off the drug, when you're kind of off that high.
Is it, and now then talk about how the addiction then progresses.
Well, the addiction progresses because the person initially becomes mentally addicted to the drug. They may become physically addicted to the drug. Now, especially with a drug like heroin or prescription drugs, you get physically ill when you stop taking it. You have flu-like symptoms. So you have those two things in combination. Then the person starts doing things to get the drug that maybe they're not proud of. Maybe they, you know, lie. Maybe they steal. And you start to get in this downward spiral or this vicious circle of lies and deceit, continuing to use the drug, alienating things in life going bad, all because of the addiction. And the person feels so guilty and so trapped that they just can't quit. And you combine that with the mental and physical aspects of it, and it's a very, very vicious cycle that just keeps going lower and lower and lower until the person really hits bottom.
Well, and I think the frustrating thing sometimes for, especially like parents, for example, who aren't sure if maybe their child is involved in something like this, after they learn more about it, they kind of feel bad that they didn't notice some of the behavioral changes earlier, but maybe they just didn't know what to look for.
Absolutely. A lot of parents, you know, they may think, you know, if it's their child or their teenager, they may think, oh, they're just experimenting, it's normal. Maybe the parent themselves drank or smoked marijuana or did something when they were younger, and they may pass it off, or they may just not want to admit that there's an actual problem. I've dealt with a lot of people who, they love their child. They remember their child as a baby, as a toddler, and they don't want to think that this person that they love and who they've helped and who they created is going and doing drugs, because it's just very heartbreaking for them.
Well, and there are behavioral changes involved with addiction. Sometimes maybe we just write those off to being, well, it's that time of their lives. You know, things are changing, their bodies are changing, their attitudes are changing. So it's, you know, maybe something that they just overlook.
Absolutely. A lot of parents will pass it off as, you know, it's hormones or there's how teenagers act. And I think to a degree, you know, there are some changes, but with drugs, there are some very specific things that a family or parent has to look for, and it has to be resolved. The sooner that you attack a drug addiction and get the person help and start the recovery process, the better chance the person has of lifelong recovery.
Does it frustrate you to hear people say, well, I'm not addicted to it or anything. I could quit whenever I wanted to. I just don't want to.
Oh, absolutely. And just, you know, for any parent out there, only family member, it is very, very, usual to hear those types of things from people that are using drugs. You know, I can quit when I want. It's not that big a deal. It's not affecting anything. I don't have a problem. And you just have to know that it's usually the drugs talking in these situations.
Yeah, how do you weed through that, though?
Well, the main thing that you do is you have to really try not to invalidate the person or really try not to make there be a conflict, but to just say, look, we love you. We see that this is doing something damaging to your life. We want you to get help. And again, you know, you want to do it in a way that's non-threatening, but if you have to, you may have to use a tough love approach. I know, you know, I struggled with my own addiction problems 12 years ago, and what my family did with me is they said, look, we love you, but you know what? We're not going to watch you kill yourself anymore. You either get into a program or you can't live with us. We're not going to give you any money. You're not going to have a place to live, and we don't want anything to do with you. And that's really hard for a parent to do, but that's sometimes what a person needs to take that step and get help.
Yeah, and it's difficult to do those types of things because you don't want to step in there like that, but you know it's sometimes the best thing you can do.
Absolutely. You know, any parent that I've spoken to over the years who's done that, it's been really hard for them, but it's paid off. What I notice is a lot of the times when a parent or a family, they let it go, they don't want to fight with the addict, they don't want to push it, then you see these negative consequences of addiction happening. You see the person getting arrested. You see them having an overdose or major health problems. And I've even seen families who have lost their loved one because they just, you know, didn't get help. They became very reasonable about the situation and thought they could let it go or that it would get better if they just, you know, let it alone. And really the situation only got worse.
Erica, is help really the key then? I mean, is it really difficult for an individual just to decide and take the steps to quit by themselves?
Absolutely. I mean, the people that are able to quit by themselves, you know, I have a lot of admiration for them because it's very, very hard to do. And statistically, it does not happen. It's not very common. When someone has an addiction problem, they have to have professional help. They have to have intervention. They have to have people that are trained and professional to step in and help them to deal with these underlying issues that started this addiction in the first place.
When folks contact the Narcanon Arrowhead Agency, what do they learn?
Well, they learn basically anything they want about addiction. If they have a question about a certain drug, the effects, behaviors, intervention, how to get a person into rehab. Narcanon also does assessments, and we refer to 10,000 treatment programs all over the country. So if someone's looking for a certain type of program, they want something that their insurance covers, they want something short-term, long-term, Narcanon can help them locate that.
Yeah, and of course you help the drug addict themselves. Do you provide assistance at all to the families and the loved ones who are also dealing with that person's addiction?
Absolutely. I would say 80% of the calls that Narcanon gets are from family members and loved ones. So not only do we help refer to other programs, but if someone does enroll in our program, we have family assistance throughout the program where you actually have a person that you can call. We also offer courses and books that the family members can read that, you know, educate them more on the addiction and what happened, as well as, aftercare and what they do when the drug rehab process is over.
If folks are interested in learning more, Erica, how can they do that?
Well, they can do that. It's toll-free and confidential. They can call in 7 days a week. That number is 1-800-468-6933. Or they can find us on the Internet at stopaddiction.com. Or we have a Facebook page. It's called Narcanon Arrowhead. And we post information on there 3 or 4 times a day every day.
All confidential, and none of it is actually committal unless you want it to be.
Absolutely, yeah. We're just there to help. It's a helpline.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you for your time today and your knowledge and experience. We appreciate that very much. Continued success.
Thank you.